In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Chartok and Yehuda Hanani discuss Handel and his influence.
Yehuda Hanani, you're always sort of helping us understand the history of classical music. And one of the most interesting is Handel and what his contribution was and where you would place him in the great pantheon of classical artists.
Yeah, let's look at it historically because it's a wonderful question. Something very peculiar, a peculiar phenomenon occurred at the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th. People like Beethoven, Goethe, Paganini, Liszt came to be regarded as superhuman. The Romantic Age was focusing on the artist as a personality. In addition to the work, there was the personality, the private lives of these people, heroic figures worthy of adulation. This new shift reflected a new light also on the past. So Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Shakespeare, they were all admired by their contemporaries, but their fame during their lifetime was nothing like the sort of veneration, the deification, you can say, the 19th century accorded them, conferred on them. It was then that the Bach cult was beginning to be established, making his posthumous fame far greater than his reputation during his life. And Handel's standing in this romantic pantheon exceeded even that of Johann Sebastian Bach, because in addition to the Germans, the English too claimed him as an icon of national pride.
Why is that?
Well, he spent a lot of time in England. He wrote a lot of music, oratorios and operas in English, in the English language. He was commissioned by the king. In Germany, he was called Georg. In England, he was George. And then when he started writing the oratorios, when styles changed and he stopped writing operas and turned to oratoria, then there was this nimbus of divinity surrounding him altogether, and he became a demigod.
So what is it? Stop for a second and tell us, what's the difference between the opera music and the oratorio music?
If you listen carefully, there is no difference. That's the beautiful thing, except that it was an economic question. Producing an opera was a very expensive deal. There was a fancy stage, there were costumes. Baroque opera was a very, very elaborate thing. There were mechanisms, clouds floating, people coming down from heaven, you know, all sorts of machines. Oratoria required no costumes, and it was much easier to produce.
His greatest work, of course, is The Messiah, right?
Yeah.
And did that overshadowed everything else?
Yes, it did. But something else happened here. You know that I'm back to this image, focusing on the artist and what works of art meant, the significance of music. Since ancient times, since the days of Pythagoras and Plato, the theory, the assumption was that music was the reflection of heaven. You know, the music of the spheres.
Sure.
For the Romantics, the heavens were patterned after the choruses of the Messiah. The hallelujahs of Handel became heaven. This gave it a tremendous twist to what people expected, because there was Handel, who was a demigod, and performances of his works, especially The Messiah, became monstrous. In 1850, a production of The Messiah took place at the Crystal Palace. This was a huge, an immense structure of glass and iron that had been erected outside London for the first international exhibition. And in 1883, The Messiah was played there again by an orchestra of 500 members. This is about six times the size of the Boston Symphony, and a chorus of 4,000. The audience numbered, are you ready for that? The audience numbered 87,769.
All singing along.
Probably. So much for British understatement. And this tradition continued until 1926 or so.
If they only cooked like they sang.
Maybe you don't want them to hear them sing either. So you see, there was a certain anomaly here in Baroque music, especially those people, Bach and Handel. The historically correct movement partially is a reaction to this tendency. In addition to that, as you said before, The Messiah the popularity of the Messiah has overshadowed Handel's other great output. So in a recent concert at Close Encounters with Music, we introduced to the public some oratorios and cantatas by Handel that are practically unknown, and they are performed in a pure pre-romantic fashion with historic instruments. And out of this concert, we have some live samples for you today.
Seno dentro seno che soffrir più non si può. Una guerra dentro seno, una guerra dentro seno, una guerra dentro seno, dentro seno che soffrir più non si può, più non si può. Una guerra dentro seno che soffrir più non si può, no, più non si può. Ardo gelo, salalo, non metti freno, fa caverma e non potrò, salalo, non metti freno, fa caverma e non potrò, ardo gelo, temo, 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 fa caverma e non potrò, mai non potrò. Dentro seno che soffrir più non si può, una guerra dentro seno, una guerra dentro seno, una guerra dentro seno che soffrir più non si può, più non si può, una guerra dentro seno che soffrir più non si può, più non si può.
That was Alan Shartok speaking with cellist Yehuda Hanani in our segment, Classical Music According to Yehuda. To learn more about Yehuda's Close Encounters with Music series in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, visit cewm.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.